Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to the latter part of John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14. Well, August is through. I didn't win Publisher's Clearinghouse. I fully expected to. I was going to use that $5,000 a week for the glory of God, man. I've never entered anything like that in my life. And one of these guys called me and said, well, you don't even have to order a magazine. Okay, I'm in. Okay. So when was the drawing? Was it like the 28th, 29th? There goes my retirement right there. It's gone. So, you might just as well. Anybody here win? I need to know if you did. Okay. All right. I'm not going to preach on tithing this morning. We're going to teach on the goodness of God, how good God is to us. And you know what? I got a friend. You talk about a misunderstood doctrine, a misunderstood person. That's the third person of the Trinity. He's the Holy Spirit of God. And Baptists are afraid of him. Not to be that. I trust that you'll understand who he is by the time this message, at least a little inkling of who the Holy Spirit is by the time this message is through. He was there in eternity past. He was there at creation. He was there at the birth of Christ. He was there at the cross. He was there at the resurrection. He was there at the birthday of the church. This is the age that the Holy Spirit has enabled and energized and birthed the church of Jesus Christ. That's the day and age in which we live. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is our comforter. Jesus, while he was on this earth and just prior to the cross, said, I've got to go home to the Father. And I have to go home so that the comforter will come. I'll send you a comforter. That being the Holy Spirit. Paracleta. That word comforter means he'd come down along beside us. He'll be there to engage and there to help us. And there's a great doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And I pray this morning that you'll get a hold of it. And you'll understand there is an unused power going on if you're not a Spirit-filled Christian. I said this morning in Sunday school, I want to say it right now, the Holy Spirit life is an amazing life. It's an amazing life. The things that God will allow you and enable you and get accomplished through you and through me if we'll just be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Stand with me one more time. I want to read just a few short verses. Everybody standing. John chapter 14 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than he that a man lay down his life for his friends. He was preparing them for Calvary. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. He said, I've instructed you. I've told you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to dismiss my spirit. I'm going to die. I'm going to shed my blood. They're going to take me to the grave. They'll take my corpse there, but I'm going to rise again on the third day. And the church, after I am gone, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's instructed them in all of this. He's reminding them of it again. He says, you're my friends. I've told you this. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. Lord, help this poor preacher to somehow communicate Scripture. We desire to hear from heaven. For that to happen, I need to be clean, and I've asked for forgiveness. I need to be enabled by thee, and your Holy Spirit needs to move in all of our hearts. We pray that that very thing will happen this morning. And God, this morning in this church house, Christians all over this auditorium will surrender to God the Holy Spirit and know the fullness of the power. So many of us, we struggle in the power of the flesh. God, forgive us. Forgive us as a church for trying to do your work in the power and our own strength and the power of the flesh instead of being enabled by the Holy Spirit. God, would you take over this morning? Save anybody that needs to be born again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Great testimony this morning over at the grandstand at the fair, the 9 o'clock service at the Chippewa County Fair. 7 people professed faith in Christ. Man, it was a glorious service. It was a glorious morning. I knew it when it was going on. It wasn't like it was a huge crowd in the grandstand, but I knew it when Greg and Joan stood up to sing. I knew, okay, this is going to be good today. And I confessed in Sunday school I didn't really want to do it this morning, but you know what? Well, shame on me. 7 souls came to Christ that we know of. I don't know out in the fairgrounds who heard the gospel and who didn't and who responded, but in the grandstands, and we give all the glory to God for that. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. He is deity. He is not a force. He is a person. He is spoken of with personal pronouns in the Word of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. His first mention is in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. And he's found throughout the scripture. And this church age in which we live is the age that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, takes over in the lives of men and the people that he takes over. That's called the Church of Jesus Christ, saved people. People wanted to live for God. They're energized by God and enabled by God. That Holy Spirit is at work today. And by the way, your family needs the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't need your will or my will. This church needs the enabling Holy Spirit of God. We've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you are a family and you are not filled with the Spirit of God, if you're the leader of your home and you're leading in the flesh, God help you to see what you need to do. You need to surrender to God. God, the Holy Spirit, He'll take over. And He'll bless. He'll bless in a great way. Holy Spirit power is bigger than nuclear weaponry. Man, it's bigger than anything this world has. You understand the thousands of people that were saved on the day of Pentecost using an old fisherman to preach the gospel, who just a few days prior to that denied Christ. That's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do to a sinner saved by grace and with a sinner saved by grace who'll just surrender to Him. You say, man, how are we ever going to reach 1,000? How are we ever going to become a church of 1,000 people? Holy Spirit power. It ain't going to happen in the flesh. If you're one that says it's never going to happen, no doubt it's because you've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're just saying, well, it's never going to happen, not in the flesh. How could it possibly happen? Let me ask you this. How was the world reached with the gospel in the first century without social media, without modern transportation? And yet it was. You know what it was? The Holy Spirit of God using the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to do some preaching here on the Holy Spirit this morning, just some practical doctrinal things. I trust it'll help you. It'll be a blessing to you. Look at chapter 14. You should be already in it. And please look at verse 17. The Holy Spirit of God, when a believer is saved, by the way, they are energized by the Holy Spirit. This isn't wacky stuff. This isn't stuff that's man-made. What I'm giving you is Bible doctrine. Man, I've been pastor here for 39 years. I've been studying the Word of God for a long time. And what I'm preaching, I'm not the only one preaching this. Don't think that. We don't have a corner on the market. I'm just telling you there's a whole lot of mistruths and slanted ideas and tainted doctrine instead of holding to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit Himself, He is deity. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is immutable. He is never going to change. He is omnipotent. He is all-power. He is part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And to be alive and born again in the 21st century and being afraid of the Holy Spirit or not recognizing the Holy Spirit's working in your life, that's a sad mistake. Aren't you tired of working in the flesh? Man, aren't you tired of just gritting your teeth and trying to make it through day by day? There's a comforter. There is a helper. His name is God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to Calvary and I must go to my Father. But don't be worried, fellas. I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to send the helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And when you get born again, He's going to indwell you. Boy, that's great. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 of chapter 14. These things I command you, that ye love one another, and if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer. He comes on the inside. If you get born again, here's what I preach at the grandstand this morning. It's not religion. It's relationship. It's a heart thing. At some point in your life, you've got to surrender your heart to God. At some point in your heart, it can't be a religion thing. It's a thing where you confess your sin to God. You know you're a sinner. You need a Savior. And you ask Jesus to come in and to save you and forgive you of all your sins. And he indwells you at that very moment. That's what happened at the day of Pentecost. There's scripture after scripture that teaches that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. That is a tremendous truth. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. While you're turning there, I'm going to read verse 17. No, I'm going to skip that one. Chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. The Holy Spirit of God, Paul says to the church at Corinth, is in you. It's of God. He is of God. He indwells you. There's no spark of divinity in man. There's never been a spark of divinity, you know, in lost man. Never has. That is humanism. That is false doctrine. It came right out of rationalism in Germany in the 1930s, and liberalism has crept into all kinds of churches. There's no such thing, please hear me, even by way of radio this morning, there's no such thing as the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. Here's how it is. God is holy, and God has always been holy, and God loves sinners, and he sent his son. Man is a sinner. Ever since Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, we became a broken people, a fallen race. We're banished from the garden. We're banished from the presence of God. Became spiritually dead, walking spiritual zombies, not understanding the things of God. But you get born again, you're quickened, the Bible says. That's the old English word for made alive. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit, hath quickened you, made you alive. Those seven people that got born again in the grandstand this morning over at the fairgrounds, they're now alive. They're right now walking on air. All of a sudden, man, they understand who Jesus is and what Jesus did for them, and they know that their sins are forgiven. The people that were born again through people of this church, I know of several, that won souls to Christ this week at work and at play and at different places, those people are genuinely, they are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, in case you're still stuck on that brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God, Jesus said to the people of his day that they were of their father, the devil. You need to get born again. Then you have a heavenly father. Then you've got a father that's the true father, the father in heaven. He indwells you. Another thing the Holy Spirit does, go back to John chapter 14. We'll spend the majority of our time in the Gospel of John in chapter 14. And look at verse 16. Oh, it's chapter 15. Yes. Yep. I'm sorry. Hearing voices again. Yep. That wasn't the Holy Spirit there. No, I know that voice. I do. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You know what? I want to look at something here, because Bill might be wrong here. He is. Look at chapter 14 and verse 17. You be quiet while I'm up here preaching, all right? Chapter 14 and verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He indwells us and he comforts us. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. So he encourages the believer. Take heart, weary child of God. You've got a comforter. I know the world is tough, and I know that life has struggled many times, but the comforter has come. I'm never alone in the darkest night, in the toughest of times, in the lowest valley, in the loneliest moment. I'm never alone. I've got God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells me, that comforter, who indwells me and he encourages me. You might want to write this down. I've preached this doctrine before, and this is real concise. Here's four verses right in a row for the Holy Spirit of God ministering to the believer. The day you got born again, you were immersed in the Holy Spirit. Baptized, that's what the word immersed means. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, spiritually speaking. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Also at that moment, you were in Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 22. And then you had Christ in you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And then Ephesians 1:13, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Man, you're his. You're his forever. What a wonderful God we serve. Not only did he provide for us at Mount Calvary and making a way for sinners to go to God's heaven, he understood that he did not leave us alone during this church age. You see, it's been a little over 2,000 years since Jesus, the Lamb of God, paid the price for my sin. And he spoke of this church age, and he ordained the church. He ordered the church, but he didn't leave us alone. Not only did he give us Holy Scripture, he sent the Holy Spirit. Third person of the Trinity. He indwells us. He encourages us. You have someone working on your behalf and the hedge that's about you, protecting you and yours and your loved ones. God, the Holy Spirit. I don't think it'd be blasphemous to tell him you love him once in a while. Now, he's all about Jesus. We'll see that in a quick moment. He's all about testifying about Christ. It's not like he's looking for worship. That's not it, but recognize who he is, what he's doing in your life. He enlightens you. John chapter 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. By the way, Bill, I apologize. I did that wrong. I did the chapter 15 early in the message, and I had the wrong verse. No hard feelings? Okay, good, good. And then you were trying to help me, and I kicked you to the curb and threw you under the bus. But that's what assistant pastors are for. He's got a lot of scars, a lot of scars. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. So in other words, he enlightens us. Here's a ministry of the Holy Spirit for the child of God. For every sinner saved by grace, every saint of God. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit indwells you and he seals you and he enlightens you. He teaches you. He takes the scripture and he opens it up so you can understand it. Man, you couldn't understand it before you got born again because you were reading someone else's mail. But now that the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, he's your teacher. It doesn't mean you don't study. You do study, but he enlightens you. It makes sense. Man, he just kind of lays it all out. I'm stupid now, but I used to be stupider. You know, without the Holy Spirit. Man, I used to listen to my preacher preach. I can remember in junior high, he preached something out of the Bible, right out of the Bible, and there it was. And I'm thinking, man, I never saw that. I read that before. I never saw that. It was just a matter of the Holy Spirit just kind of enlightening, turning the light on. Click. That's what the Bible says. Man, now it makes sense. Now I know what's going on in the world. Now I understand this wicked culture, this cosmos, This kingdom of darkness that we live in. I understand why people do what they do, and I understand the motivation behind man, and I understand the difference between being a New Testament believer and an unsaved person. Man, click, it just makes sense. Now I read the book of Revelation, and bang, there it is. Man, I never saw that before. It's amazing. And God will grow you. You say, preacher, there's still a lot of things. I know I'm saved. I received Christ as my Savior. There's still a lot of things I don't understand. That's because you don't know everything. Keep growing. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are a lot of things you didn't understand as a six-year-old that you do understand as a 26-year-old. You know, you grow is what you do, but the difference is now the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He enlightens us. Man, that's the Bible comes alive. He energizes us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, which you are familiar with. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He energizes the church of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:18, he fills us with the Spirit of God that we might do the work of God. The Holy Spirit is energized the New Testament church that is surrendered to the Bible, to Bible principles, that is following the Word of God. You say, why is it that there's a church over here and it doesn't seem like the Holy Spirit is working there? He can't enlighten what's not there. Are they preaching Bible? If they're not preaching Bible, the Holy Spirit can't turn the light on. You know, he's our teacher. He's our minister. A good preacher is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and he's going to be used of God to speak in ways that the preacher never planned on preaching, and things are going to be said to the heart that by way of Scripture that I don't even say, a good preacher doesn't even say from the pulpit, but the Holy Spirit takes what the preacher said and boom, hits and meets the need. Hits the need. You know how many times people have walked out of this church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and said, preacher, man, were you in my kitchen table this week? Yeah, just what I needed, man. How did you know? You know, that kind of thing. The truth is, I don't know nothing. I still am pretty stupid. But we have the Holy Spirit, who's our energizer. And then there's security. He ensures us. Hebrews 13:5, the comforter. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says in Ephesians 1:13, and 4:30, that we're sealed by God, the Holy Spirit. He'll never lose track of us. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, we are kept by the power of God. Man, I'm going to live forever. And if you just understand the power that's available to you. Listen to me, I'm preaching to everybody here that's a type A personality. You're the control person. Someday, somewhere, you're going to come to the end of yourself. And the Holy Spirit will be there. You've got to get to the place. I don't care what personality trait you have. You've got, the sooner you get there, the better, where you surrender to God, the Holy Spirit, and quit manipulating, and quit massaging, and quit working behind the scenes. It isn't that God doesn't use some of those things, but God don't need you to do that. The Holy Spirit of God, he enables, he energizes, and he ensures, he enlightens, he exalts Jesus. Look at chapter 16 now, John in chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14. And as far as that security, remember, when there's no one else, there's God. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. I can't comprehend the Trinity. I can't comprehend the triunity. I remember being in Theology 101 and Dr. Wooster leading me down a primrose path. And I think I got it all figured out and right at the end of the class period. And he let me stew on it all day long. He'd push me over the edge. You know, he'd lead me down these false truths, half truths. I'd get to the end just before he's ready to close the class in prayer. He pushed me off the end. I'd leave the classroom thinking, my head's spinning. Man, but I believe it. The triunity of God. God the Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father planned it, God the Son provided it, and God the Holy Spirit, he powers it. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit, when the Comforter comes, he's not going to be preaching himself, he's going to preach Jesus. He's going to point people to the cross. He's going to point people to Jesus Christ, the second person. He'll not speak of himself, and the things that I give him, that's what he's going to speak of. Separate in office, one in essence, Trinity. I know it's true. It's Elohim. It's Godhead. I understand that. It's not a three-headed God. It's not three gods. It's one God. The Lord our God is one God, Jehovah God. I understand all of that. The Holy Spirit is here today. He indwells us as believers. He has sealed us as believers. Man, I'm secure. I'm secure in Christ. He energizes us. He enables us. The work of God gets done. He ensures us. We have absolute, absolute security in Christ. I'm going to live forever. And he's all about Jesus. He's all about Christ. That's amazing. Jesus said so. John in chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14. There's other passages. Look at chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The world needs Christ. The world needs to hear about the Savior. The world needs to hear about the Lamb of God, the door, the living water, the Good Shepherd, the one who died on the cross for our sins that we might go to heaven. Again, I started the message out by saying that. Let me say it again. That's good news. That's good news. Jesus did all the work on the cross. He shed his blood that we might have eternal life. Just like I said in the grandstand this morning, man, it's the righteousness of Christ. That's why we're going to heaven. Isn't that good news? Because you don't have enough righteousness. You've broken the law. And whosoever keepeth the whole law and offended one point, he's guilty of all. But I happen to know you've offended in more than one point. I know that. I'm going to be preaching a series on the Ten Commandments. The next ten, well, there's some interruptions, 10 Sunday mornings that I preach. I shared that with a Methodist man on Friday night. He said, well, that's good. You'll be able to tell what people's problems are by the sermon that they miss. I said, I never thought of that. I have a feeling we're going to have real good attendance for the next 10 Sunday mornings. You can't keep the law. I can't keep the law. That's why we need a Redeemer. That's why we have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God, by the way, empowers us. One more verse, John chapter 14 and verse 12. John in chapter 14 and verse 12. This is how we reach Chippewa County. This is how we reach Mackinac County. This is how we reach Luce County. This is how we run 1,000 people. This is how Michigan gets revival. This is how America comes back to God. Jesus said, 12th verse, verily, verily, and what that means is this is absolute. It's the same Greek word and it's the same Hebrew word we get the word amen from. So be it. This is it. This is truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's believers, born again people, the works that I do shall he do also. Baffles me. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said, even greater things than I have done, you'll be able to do, because I go to the Father, and the Comforter has come. Thousands will be reached. Entire nations experience revival. The 9 people that I know of that got saved in the last 7 days, 10 people that I know of that got saved in the last, every precious soul that comes to Christ. Jesus said, because of me, because of Jesus, greater works shall be done. How's that happen? Holy Spirit of God enabling, empowering. So you see, for you to sit back and say, well, it's a different day and you can't build churches today and people aren't getting saved. Number one, I say that's baloney. People are getting saved all over the place. People are coming to Christ in all directions. Maybe not right around you. And that's our big red flag, isn't it? Who's the last person you won to Christ? Jesus said, greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father. You know who he was saying that to? The church. He was saying that to the church. This is the age of the church. This is where the Holy Spirit is enabling his people. We get to be used of God. Man, it isn't we four and no more. It isn't hold the fort for I'm coming. It's we're marching to Zion. Man, it's understanding there's a whole world all around us. I venture to say, I say this to the shame of mankind, to the shame of the church. I say this knowing it's true for all way too many of us. Went all last week and never told anybody about Jesus. They all say, oh, but I did this. Did you tell anybody about Jesus? Did you tell anybody how to be born again? You say, oh, but I'm doing this for God and I'm doing that for God. Ain't getting to heaven that way. Did you talk to anybody about Christ? Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.